I know that not everyone pays close attention to the news. It's often better for your mental health not to. But I'd hazard a guess that most of us heard something about Russia's State of the Nation speech earlier this month. During this speech, Russian President Vladimir Putin showcased his nation's developing armaments. A cruise missile powered by nuclear technology that can reach the United States. Nuclear weapons that can evade any missile defense system. Unstoppable drone submarines that can be used to blow up foreign ports. During his speech, there was even an animation that showed missiles descending on what looked like Florida. Nobody listened to us, Putin said in his speech. Well, listen to us now. In our world, you get people's respect and ensure their submission with the threat or use of violence. Nations stockpile old weapons and develop new ones to be taken seriously and to be obeyed. Of course, I gave Russia as an example, but it's not just Russia that does this. It's a game that's played by every nation. I mean, I found you can go online before or during any conflict. Any Western nation will often engage in a propaganda war. This is a leaflet that was dropped prior to the war in Iraq. It says, on one side, coalition air power can strike at will, any time, any place, and shows a jet fighter dropping bombs. On the back, it says, threatening these coalition aircraft has a consequence. The attacks may destroy you or any location of coalition choosing. Will it be you or your brother? You decide. Threats or use of violence. It's something that every nation is involved in. But this doesn't just happen between nations, does it? It also happens among individuals. We also issue threats and enact violence to get people's respect and to ensure their submission. Of course, unless we want to go to jail, we do this in subtler ways. We engage in psychological warfare. We tell others, you know, people are talking. We launch covert operations. By day, there are smiles and handshakes, while at night, the daggers come out. We make a blatant show of force. You know, sort of like those military parades where they have all the missiles on the back of those heavy trucks. We boast about our successes and ignore the others' accomplishments. We puff ourselves up to make our enemies feel small. In our world, you get people's respect and ensure their submission with the threat or use of violence. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus is brought before Pontius Pilate. As governor of Judea, Pilate is the Roman Empire's representative. He is a man of incredible power and authority. If only a governor of a small region. I mean, he had 6,000 crack troops at his disposal, quick disposal, and 30,000 more in nearby Syria to back him up. From what we know about Pilate, he really had two aims or two policies in particular. On the one hand, he wanted to keep things quiet. He would, by sheer brutality if necessary, keep the lid down on what could become a boiling pot in the Middle East. On the other hand, it seems that he just took delight in snubbing the Jewish people, in particular their leaders. He enjoyed showing them that he was in charge. Pilate, as a representative of the Roman Empire, traded in threats and violence. Well, in today's gospel lesson, the Jewish leaders bring Jesus before Pilate True to form, Pilate asks about the charges and then throws the matter back at them, telling them to deal with it themselves. He forces them to persist in asking him to reconsider. As usual, he has the upper hand. They both knew that their law was not adequate for their purposes. I mean, they both knew that the Jewish leaders wanted Jesus dead. But the right to exercise such violence, capital punishment, belonged to Rome, and it belonged to Pilate. It was something that was jealously guarded by Rome in every area that they conquered. Of course, Pilate may have the power to execute on one hand. On the other hand, he doesn't want an uprising. And so Pilate concedes to see Jesus, and he asks him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Pilate cuts straight to the chase. He knows the charges they're bringing against Jesus have been chosen to get Rome's attention. Sedition? A king? Right? Well, on his part, Jesus doesn't offer a simple response to this incriminating question. He allows that, yes, he is a king, but only after redefining his kingdom. "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world." Commentator Tom Wright notes that the English translation of these words imply that Jesus' kingdom is some other world reality that has really nothing to do with the present. Wright argues that what Jesus is actually denying is that his kingdom has a this world origin or quality. Jesus' kingdom is in fact not like the Roman empires or all those empires that came before them. Jesus' kingdom is different in origin and quality. To illustrate this difference, Jesus tells Pilate that if his kingdom had a this world quality, his followers would have fought his arrest. But with the exception of a sword-swinging Peter, whom Jesus quickly rebuked, they didn't. I mean, Jesus hadn't been cultivating a crew of violent rebels, people who were ready to pick up weapons and overthrow the government. I mean, this was a sort of lowly band of disciples, and they all fled confused and bewildered when Jesus was arrested. Jesus' kingdom is different. A different origin and a different quality. Jesus' kingdom doesn't exercise the threats or use violence like all the other kingdoms we've grown accustomed to. I mean, the power of Jesus' kingdom isn't its ability to destroy, but its capacity to bless, nurture, heal, and forgive. Just think about those signs and wonders we've already encountered in John's gospel. Changing the water into wine and feeding the 5,000. Healing the paralytic and the man blind from birth. Raising Lazarus from the dead. And then here today, walking open-eyed into his own impending execution. Willingly taking the place of whom? A bandit. A guy named Barabbas. Willingly taking the place of Israel. Willingly taking the place of you and me. Of course, not everyone can see this kingdom. Jesus earlier told Nicodemus that you have to be born from above to really understand it or comprehend it. When Pilate sees the truth, he can't recognize it. I mean, even when the truth is staring him in the face. So how about us? Do we recognize that king who stands before us? And do we work as servants of the kingdom, a kingdom of that kingdom, a kingdom that trades in the power of life instead of the power of death? I came across this story about two siblings. They lived on adjoining farms but had a deep quarrel. They had often shared resources, but the practice stopped, and there was nothing but bitterness left. One morning, a brother, whom we'll call John, answered a knock at his door. It was a carpenter. The carpenter was wandering the neighborhood and wondered if there was any work to do. John said that there was, in fact, something he could do. He took the carpenter to where the two properties met and showed him how the other brother had taken a bulldozer and created a creek where the meadow used to be. John said, I know he did this to make me angry. I want you to help me get even by building a big fence. Then I won't have to see him or his property ever again. Now, to be honest, it doesn't seem to be particularly retributive, does it? I mean, it's not like he was pouring sugar into the dozer's tank or poisoning his brother's well. But he was trying to shut him out. Anyways, he asked for a big fence, and the carpenter worked hard all day long. When he reported back to John, John noticed that there was no fence. Instead, the carpenter had used his skill and built a bridge over the creek. John's brother saw the bridge and was quite moved that his brother would do such a thing. The two brothers met in the middle and embraced. What is the sort of kingdom that we've been recruited to take part in? Not a kingdom that utters threats or exercises violence. The kingdom that Jesus is threatening, well, it's that kingdom, a kingdom of reconciliation, of healing, and peace. Well, may this be the kingdom, and Jesus be the King that each one of us serve. Amen.